live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Hey guys, you've heard of the Young Turks podcast because you're listening to it right now. But make sure that you subscribe and give it a 5-star rating if you like it. Thank you for listening. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Thank you for having us. Okay, so how was your weekend, Casper?
It was all right.
Okay, I'm giving away my cat later in the show. Okay. So fun for everybody. All right, look, usual madness, Trump, Fox News, but Fox News actually saying something good. The Just Democrats attacked. In other words, it's Monday.
Yeah. Trump talking about how he can blow up Afghanistan in a minute, in a second, which we'll get to in just a minute.
Look, now when I read a headline or anything related to Donald Trump, I automatically don't believe it. His percentage chance of lying is so much greater than the percentage chance of telling the truth that it doesn't matter what the headline, like it doesn't matter what he said, I automatically dismiss
it
as untrue. But Jake,
aren't we so lucky that we hear from the president?
Oh yeah, yeah,
right?
That's a story we're gonna get to later.
It's awesome that we hear from him, even if he's lying to us.
Okay, all anyway. Right, we'll get to that. All right, let's do it, what do we got, Anna?
Let's start with Iran. It's been a little while since we've done an Iran story. The latest in escalating tensions between the United States and Iran includes a claim by the Iranian government indicating that they have arrested 17 members of the CIA, or at least what they're referring to as spies who were spying on Iran on behalf of the CIA. Now, they provided some evidence, and right now it's a little unclear as to whether or not they're fibbing about this, but I'm more inclined to believe Iran as opposed to our own government under Donald Trump, and I'll explain why in just a minute. But first, let me give you the details. Iran said that its intelligence forces identified and arrested 17 Iranians suspected of spying for the CIA, and that some of them have been sentenced to death. An Iranian official said suspects were arrested in cities on the border, where he said they had traveled to meet with their foreign intelligence handlers. They encountered Iranian counterintelligence officers instead. Now, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went on Fox News, Fox and Friends specifically, to talk about this. And here's what he had to say.
I would urge everyone who's reading that story waking up to understand that the Iranian regime has a long history of lying. They lied about where they shut down the American UAV. They've now lied in the last few days about where they took down this tanker. It's part of the nature of the Ayatollah to lie to the world. I would take with a significant grain of salt any Iranian assertion about actions that they've taken.
So two very important points about what Pompeo just said. If you noticed, he never denied it. He said they have a long history of lying.
So
I would take it with a grain of salt. I wouldn't trust what the Ayatollah is saying. But he never said, no, it's not true. Those were not CIA spies. He just kind of went around and around without actually getting to the heart of it. And there's a very good reason for that, because as Anna's going to show you, there's overwhelming proof that they did actually catch our spies. And later, of course, the CIA will, you know, honor those folks because they were working for the CIA, and some of them might now be killed in that service. So, and it's a, let's note that it's a really sad day that they were caught, and some of them will be killed probably. So now, by the way, they're Iranians. So Donald Trump and Stephen Miller have proposed that there'd be zero refugees allowed into the country next year. So even I don't know that we'd even allow them into our country, I guess, because people that work with our military, we won't let into the country. There's 100,000 Iraqis waiting.
Right.
So I don't know if they would have been executed anyway, because we just wouldn't have never let them in. But anyway, the second thing I wanted to point out about what Pompeo said is, he says the Iranian government has a history of lying. I mean, you say that with a straight face. Donald Trump has a history of lying unparalleled by any world leader today, with the possible exception of his lover Kim Jong-un. And I say that because he says he loves him. Trump says he loves Kim Jong-un. So those are the two biggest liars probably in the world right now in terms of leaders. And that's a horrible, horrible state of affairs for America. And I hope we get way better than that. But as do the Iranians have some history of lying? Of course, they're a government. All governments have a history of lying, and particularly the Iranians led by the Ayatollah and the mullahs. But our history of lying under Trump is far, far worse.
So just to get into the evidence that the Iranians provided when it came to these people who got arrested, they actually offered state media published what it said were photos, business cards, and also cell numbers of the alleged handlers. So these are the foreign handlers that they were referring to earlier, members of our CIA. The photographs appeared to be taken from social media sites. Some of the individuals do hold diplomatic positions. And also the cards of two of the officials said they were posted to Vienna, a diplomatic crossroads that has long been a focus of US intelligence activity targeting Iran. So that's some of the evidence that they've provided, but that's just half the story. There's one other part that developed last week, and it has to do with Iran seizing an oil tanker. So they're admitting to this. In fact, they're just straight out saying, yeah, we seized this oil tanker. According to the Washington Post, Iran last week seized a British flagged oil tanker that it said had violated maritime rules following the detention of an Iranian vessel off the coast of Gibraltar earlier this month. And so as a result, British authorities are saying, look, if you're going to do any type of commerce through the Strait of Hormuz, you need to be accompanied, you need protection, you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't travel that way without added protection, because there's a lot of concern that the Iranian government is gonna retaliate in one way or the other.
Yeah, but I wanna emphasize what Anna said there in the beginning, which is that we stopped one of their tankers first.
Exactly, yeah.
So from here on out, most of the reporting will leave that part out, just so you know, okay? They'll make it seem like the Iranians acted first. They'll constantly mention the British tanker that they stopped without mentioning the Iranian tanker we stopped first. So this tit for tat is disastrous and eventually could lead to a terrible war, which of course some of Trump's advisors look forward to.
Absolutely, and not just some of Trump's advisors, conservative members of the media. In fact, just take a look and pay close attention to the line of questioning that Pompeo is about to get in this next clip.
Do you think our lack of action 2 weeks ago has emboldened the Iranians? They think they can get away with anything because they got away with taking out a $200 million drone and saw very little repercussion.
No, I don't think that's the case at all. I think the leadership in Iran understands that America has the capacity to respond in ways that'll protect American interests around the world. The president made the decision that he wanted to respond in a way that was restrained and prudent. I don't think Iran took this as a green light. I think I've seen intelligence that would indicate that. They understand that America is powerful. You've seen us move a few increased resources into the region. You've seen us respond in ways that are restrained. We don't want war with Iran. We want them to behave like a normal nation. Sure. I think they understand that, and I think the whole world is waking up to the fact that this threat is real. It's not just a threat against America.
So of course, in that clip, Pompeo is talking about the fact that Trump had ordered an airstrike against Iran and then called the airstrike off in the last second, which thank God he did. But I mean, I say thank God, but at the same time, A, I don't believe in God. Secondly, it's important to really take a good hard look at who Trump is as a leader. I mean, there is a lack of knowledge when it comes to these foreign policy issues, and there's also this knee-jerk reaction to any type of provocation. In fact, let's go to a clip of Trump talking about Afghanistan just recently.
If we wanted to fight a war in Afghanistan and win it, I could win that war in a week. I just don't want to kill 10 million people. Does that make sense to you? I don't want to kill 10 million people. I have plans on Afghanistan that if I wanted to win that war, Afghanistan would be wiped off the face of the earth. It would be gone. It would be over in literally in 10 days.
Okay, so there's that. I can wipe Afghanistan off the face of the earth. And remember, it's not just Trump's lack of knowledge or the fact that he has these knee-jerk reactions. He's also surrounded by war hawks like John Bolton. And sometimes he trolls John Bolton when it comes to his hawkishness. And I want to talk about that a little bit.
Anna, before you get there, I just want to say a couple things about that Fox clip and Trump. So if you notice, Kilmeade said all of a sudden the drone's up to $200 million. just a couple of weeks ago, it was 100 million. Now, oh my God, they down to $200 million drone, leaving out the fact that we had entered their airspace. If Iran had sent a $200 million drone into our airspace, what do you think we would have done? We would have shot it down and been incredibly proud of it, right? Second of all, I hope it's not $200 million to keep inflating the price. And if it is, my God, the money we're wasting for one little drone is $200 million. This is what's wrong with defense spending. But also on the Afghanistan clip, I mean, what kind of an idiot slash monster goes around going, I could nuke a country, I could blow it all up, I could kill everybody in the country. Yeah, I know, we know that. We have the biggest nuclear arsenal ever created by man. We could also wipe out Japan if we wanted to. But why are you bragging about that? What a weird thing to say.
Well, not only that, I mean, the way that he responded in that clip shows that he doesn't even really know why we're in Afghanistan in the first place. That's not to apologize or make excuses for it. We shouldn't be in the country, we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. But at the same time, Afghanistan is not our enemy, right, at the moment. Like, we're supposed to, I mean, he says the quiet part's loud. We're supposed to do nation building in Afghanistan.
Yeah, we're supposed to be helping the Afghanis, yeah, liberating the Afghanis. And he's sitting there with, of course, a person sitting next to him in an incredibly awkward situation. So he goes, I could kill them all, I could kill them all. Okay, I know, dude, but bring it down. And how would, I mean, it reminds me of the old quote from Vietnam, we liberated the village by destroying it. And so, yes, we could do that. Let's try hard not to.
Finally, let's get to Bolton. As we all know, John Bolton happens to be very hawkish when it comes to foreign policy, and Donald Trump likes to tease him about it and troll him on it. So Axios is reporting that during a White House Situation Room meeting last year, Trump reportedly said to his hawkish national security chief, quote, okay, John, let me guess, you want to nuke them all. He also said at one point, turned to Bolton in an Oval Office meeting with the Irish Prime Minister and said, by the way, the Irish Prime Minister is in the room. He turns to Bolton and says, quote, John, is Ireland one of those countries you want to invade?
Okay.
This is crazy.
All right, look, on the latter quote, if he's kidding around, right? And so I mind the kidding around less. Although the Irish Prime Minister's gotta be like, what? What is going on here, right?
There's one more though.
Yeah, but I'll get to the substance after the last quote.
Oh, okay. So actually, this is a little bit about the substance. So he does it to troll him, but he also thinks having Bolton within his cabinet gives him leverage, right? So according to a White House official who spoke to Axios, he thinks that Bolton's bellicosity and eagerness to kill people is a bargaining chip when he's sitting down with foreign leaders. Bolton can be the bad cop and Trump can be the good cop. Trump believes this to his core. So it's kind of like, I mean, think of a mom who's about to spank a child, right? It's like the belt. Bolton is the belt. You know, mm-hmm. if you're not good, I'm gonna use the belt, and that's what Bolton is in the administration.
Yeah. So look, number one, don't hit your kids with a belt, and don't have John Bolton in your administration.
Right.
Now, number two, though, I get it. This is actually as much strategy as Donald Trump could possibly do, and when he does do negotiations, he does a little bit good cop, bad cop. It's as far as I'll ever go in saying that he's ever got any strategy. And I understand some of the value in it. The problem is not the strategy, the problem is the person executing it. So if you had an intelligent, seasoned, reasonable person who had discipline executing good cop, bad cop, no problem, right? When you have a thin-skinned, deeply insecure guy executing it, well, then you've got trouble, because the question is, who's playing who? If Trump is playing Bolton and doesn't intend to invade any of these countries, no problem. But if Bolton is playing Trump and can easily goad him into a war, well, then you've got massive trouble. And he does it all the time, internally, and then we see it from time to time externally, whether it's Bolton or Sean Hannity or other people at Fox News going, hey, you know what? Looks like they're messing with you. They're making you look weak, Donald. Are you gonna make you look weak? Oh, I mean, because I know you're really strong, Donald. There is one way you could show it, you could obliterate them. And Hannity the other day was talking about, oh, Trump will obliterate Iran and egging him on. So as long as that mercurial child is in the office, we're still in a lot of trouble, especially with these kind of hawkish, insane advisors that even Trump himself says like to kill people.
All right, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about Puerto Rico. There is an important update there. Puerto Rico's governor, Ricardo Rosello, has just announced that he will not seek re-election, but he does intend on remaining in office for the remainder of his term. Now, this is in response to mass protests calling for his resignation following news that the island is dealing with mass corruption. They're also very mad about the fact that Rosello was involved in text messages that had homophobic and other disgusting exchanges, which I'll get to in just a second. We did talk about that on the show earlier last week. Now, just to give you some information on this, he released a statement saying a huge portion of the population is unhappy and I recognize it. I've heard you. I love the island and people. Today, I have the responsibility to direct my strengths and to find alternatives to that. With God, we may be able to move forward. So that with God, we may be able to move forward. So this is good. He should resign, absolutely. He had a press conference where he tried to explain himself and the text messages he was involved in. No one was buying it. And so it makes all the sense in the world for him to step down. There have been members, people who were in positions of power previously who have been arrested now because of the fact that they took $15 million in government money, federal money, and redirected it to their friends instead of doing the right thing and helping to improve the conditions on the island.
So I was never buying Governor Rosello from the first day that he, I don't know why I'm being polite here, but seemed to be appeasing Donald Trump. Right after the hurricane hit, Trump was there and he's constantly applauding him and complimenting him. Look, I get it, if you don't, he won't give you any money. And so in a sense, if you were a good guy, you'd be taking a bullet for the people by kissing, all right, I'll say it, kissing Donald Trump's ass, right? But it didn't feel that way. In watching it, it seemed like he was, this is like the San Juan mayor was on fire, right? But Rosello would constantly say, yes, sir, maybe we have another, sir, please, sir, yes, sir. No matter what Trump did, and no matter how much he insulted Puerto Rico, and no matter how much he kept funds away from Puerto Rico, etc. So I always had questions about him. And then, but onto the corruption, it's totally unsurprising, but I am annoyed at one significant thing here. Okay, $15 million given to your friends and political allies in the form of government contracts.
Isn't that what we do all the time?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We give trillions of dollars to the political allies and friends of politicians in America. Why aren't they being protested around the clock? I mean, and so like it makes it seem like, oh wow, Puerto Rico is so corrupt. $15 million is child's play. The American politicians are literally 1,000 times, 100,000 times more corrupt. Lindsey Graham gives away trillions of dollars to defense contractors and the military industrial complex and brags about it. And why? Because he gets money from them, gets campaign donations, independent expenditures. Trump does the same, Mitch McConnell, and a lot of Democrats too. Dianne Feinstein does it.
Yes.
So is Feinstein and Graham less corrupt than Rosello? No way. I would argue they're more corrupt.
I mean, look at what's happening with the education department under Betsy DeVos and how she has basically done all sorts of favors for her for-profit college friends. I mean, so many favors that those for-profit college executives are now serving in the education department. So yeah, this corruption is part and parcel of how government is run in America these days. And so you're absolutely right about that. What made the story, I guess, for some worse was the fact that these text messages between Rosello and other, politicians were leaked. And so just to give you an example, in one of the messages, he reportedly referred to former New York City Assembly Speaker Melissa Mark Vivitrito, who is politically close to San Juan Mayor Cruz as whore. So he called, women whores. In another message, the Puerto Rico governor mocked the fiscal oversight board established by Congress to oversee the territory's finances. Dear oversight board, go F yourself, he wrote. And it goes on and on. There were other things, there were homophobic things that he wrote in there as well. And so people were already angry, they were already protesting, but this was more fuel to the fire.
Anything he said that was worse than Donald Trump? So, I mean, Donald Trump has said way worse things and is far, far more corrupt. I mean, Donald Trump ran a charity that wasn't a charity, that paid his legal bills and bought portraits of himself. He ran a fake university so that he would trick unsuspecting people of coming and wasting all of their money and giving them no education at all. They were not accredited, they had to shut it down. And then while in office, I can go on and on and on. So I guess what they're saying is Governor Rosella was stupid enough to not legalize bribery ahead of time before he did the bribery, or the corruption. Because that's what we did in America. That's exactly what campaign contributions and independent expenditures are. It's absolutely legalized bribery. So we get to criticize the Puerto Rican governor, and I'm glad that he's not gonna run for office again. But none of our politicians get to do that because 90% of them are significantly more corrupt than he is.
We gotta take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss Chuck Schumer's visit to the southern border and Trump's reaction to it. And then it turns out that Trump and Congress have come up with some sort of budget deal. We'll fill you in on that and more.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Welcome back to TYT, Anna and Cenk with you. Before we get to the rest of the stories, I just wanted to remind you of our awesome partners, starting with Aspiration. Aspiration is a fantastic financial organization that you should absolutely open an account with. This is a progressive place to keep your money. They won't charge you any fees. In fact, if you let them know, "I don't want to be charged any fees," they will not charge you a single penny. And they also give you a 2% interest on the savings account if you happen to open one with them. Only takes 5 minutes to open a free checkings account. Go to aspiration.com/TYT to do so. And then after you do that, go to tyt.com/free30, the number 30, and we will offer you 1 month of free TYT membership as an added bonus. I also want to let you guys know about another partner that we're working with, Squarespace. Squarespace is a wonderful place to go to if you're looking to create a new website. Maybe you want to create a website for your personal portfolio, you're looking for a new job. Go to squarespace.com/TYT and you'll get a 10% coupon with the service. Again, squarespace.com/TYT.
All right, guys, we had a breaking news story we're gonna go to right now. So I'll read your tweets in the next segment.
All right. Donald Trump has just announced via Twitter that the White House, along with congressional leaders, have reached a deal when it comes to the budget. So apparently the White House and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reached a tentative 2-year budget deal that would actually raise spending caps by $320 billion and suspend the debt ceiling until after the election. So this debate will not have to happen until after the election on July 31st, 2021. And again, it will increase the budget $320 billion. In fact, Trump tweeted the following, "I'm pleased to announce that a deal has been struck with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy on a two-year budget and debt ceiling with no poison pills. That's an important part that we'll elaborate in just a minute. This was a real compromise to give another big victory to our great military and vets. Now, he mentions military and vets because he wanted to increase spending on the military, and that is exactly what he received through these negotiations. Also, there are people who are upset about this. Senator Patrick Leahy, a ranking Democrat on the Senate Appropriations Committee, is not happy. He said that he was furious with the deal and would not block Trump from using, or he's furious because it will not block Trump from using the funds on the border wall. And some Republicans are upset as well, including study committee chairman Representative Mike Johnson, who said he's angry that this package actually adds more money to the debt.
Yeah, so I'm mixed on it. This story just came across the wires, as they used to say. So
internets.
We're gonna have to study the details a lot to see what Pelosi and Schumer compromised on. Look, I'm not opposed to the idea of a compromise. And here at the, when you look at it from a big picture perspective, they did get extra spending put in, which the Republicans claimed that they were dead set against. Trump claimed he was dead set against. So that appears to be a victory. Leahy, who in the old days was considered pretty progressive, these days probably considered a moderate, being this mad about it gives you pause. But every one of the right wing groups is furious. They say, no, we shouldn't have given any extra spending, but they always say that. And so the reason they made the deal, I'll tell you that, that's the easy one. Trump, when he said he was gonna balance the budget, never meant it. And he likes to cut spending just to be cruel and rile up his base. So he's like, I don't know, let's cut money from things that help regular people. And people are like, yeah, right? But does he really want to pick those bigger fights? Does he want to make tough choices? Like, hey, well, if we're going to give $2 trillion in tax cuts to the rich, should we cut the military? Well, he doesn't want to make that choice. He just wants to, he's a con man. So he's like, yeah, you get everything. You get everything. The rich get their tax cuts. I don't touch the military. We don't touch any of our priorities. And so I'm not at all surprised he did this. And of course, he's blown up the deficit just like we told you he would. But it's not a matter of Trump. I told you any Republican would. I told you they never, ever meant balancing the budget. They don't. And I was proven right for the 1,000th time on this issue. The reason I frame it that way is because the mainstream media still is the marketing arm of the Republican Party, because in every article they'll talk about how the Republicans want to balance the budget. No, they don't. They've never balanced the budget. Do you know the last Republican president to leave office with a balanced budget? Dwight Eisenhower, okay? So the fun trivia fact for you guys to impress people with, they don't care about balanced budgets. It's all a lie. It's all about tax cuts for the rich. That's what Trump did. He's like, I got paid. All my friends got paid. All my donors got paid. The rest is irrelevant. You want to do a deal? We don't cut spending? Sure, who cares? Oh, and I get the wall? Sure, fine. So on the other hand, at least getting some increased spending so that the cuts are not as draconian. Okay, I get that's a positive. The rest of the devil is in the details.
Right, I agree on that. But one thing that is clear as of now is that there will be increased spending on the military, which already gets quite a bit of spending. And the fact that there wasn't really much of a debate on that, I think tells you just how much Democrats and Republicans are in cahoots on military spending. There's never a debate. There's never a debate. When it comes to our healthcare, when it comes to education for our kids, when it comes to anything that would actually improve our lives, when it comes to infrastructure, there's always a debate. There's always that question of how are you gonna pay for that? But when it comes to increasing the budget and adding more to military spending, oh yeah, we agree to it. No debate.
Yeah, of course not, because the overwhelming majority of the Democrats, including Democratic leadership, are also corrupt. They also take tremendous amount of campaign donations from defense contractors. So the defense budget is insanity. It's bloated. It's more than the 8 other countries that spend the most amount on defense combined don't spend anywhere near as much as we do. We overwhelm the rest of the world wide, like to have some sort of great military advantage. No, we got mauled in Iraq. We're still mired in a quagmire in Afghanistan. No, is it to support the troops? No, another fun slash disastrous fact for you is that incoming troops get a salary of a little over $19,000. No, all of it goes to defense contractors. Almost all of it is corruption. So Schumer and Trump are like, oh, you want to do corruption on defense budget? Deal, right? And all their donors are ecstatic over it. So of course they didn't challenge him on that. That's not at all surprising. And then one more part that is frustrating is the debt ceiling. So I'm most frustrated again by the media here, because they pretend like Republicans have principles. So whenever a Democrat's in office, they're like, no, that's it, we're not raising the debt ceiling. No way, no way, you gotta cut spending, right? And then the Democrats, since they took that hostage and the whole economy would blow up if they don't raise the debt ceiling, they give ransoms left and right. When a Republican's in office, they're like, yeah, raise the debt ceiling, who cares? Yeah, not an issue, not remotely an issue, don't care about the debt ceiling, let's move on, right? And the media's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense. The Republicans are full of crap, and they take hostages every time, and they have no principles other than giving everything to their donors. So that part I couldn't be more tired of. Last thing I want to say is about the numbers. So Trump said, our budget is in fantastic shape, fantastic. Obama destroyed the budget, right? Okay, as usual, total lie, moron, etc. Let me give you the actual numbers. When Trump took office, the debt, there's the debt, which is all of the money that we owe. The deficit is the yearly amount that we are in the hole. So the debt was $19 trillion. By the way, largely because of Reagan's tax cuts, George W. Bush's tax cuts, the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, and Trump's tax cuts. That is a huge percent of that $19 trillion that we owe as a country. Why? Because they had to give it all to the rich in the defense contracts. Anyway, you know what it is now? Well, it's gotta be lower because Trump's so good at it. Right? Oh, we're great with the budget, right? No, it went up to $22 trillion. What happened? Way, way worse than Democratic president. Are you kidding me? Bill Clinton balanced the budget. He left Bush with a surplus. So now,
fake news. This is fake news. Before.
Yeah, of course. That's what he'll say. Obama's last year, he left a deficit of $587 billion. Now, if you look at that by itself, and the Republicans do this all the time, I can't believe it. $587 billion. Look at the Democrats. They can't do the budget at all, right? Now, what they don't tell you is Bush took the surplus that Clinton left behind and left Obama in his last year with a $1.2 trillion. Dollar deficit. So Obama lowered the deficit from 1.2 trillion down to 587 billion. So did Trump make it better? Of course not. Guess what it's back to this year? $1 trillion. The Republicans never balance budgets. They are lying that they care about that. It is in their actions. What do? They blew up the debt, they blew up the deficit again. Why? Because my donors needed a $1.9 trillion tax cut. Media, do your job, do objective reporting on what actually happens, not on the propaganda that the different parties give you.
Let's move on to Chuck Schumer and what he did at the border over the weekend. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer visited the southern border and specifically went to various detention facilities to see what the situation is. Now, of course, this has been a big story. I wish he had gone earlier. But nonetheless, he went to draw attention to the inhumane conditions that migrants are kept in. He talks about it a little bit in this next clip.
They tried to make things look better the day before. 400 people were taken out of one facility yesterday. But even with that, it's awful the conditions that these people are placed in. We asked Secretary McAleenan what percentage of these people are criminals. Minuscule, 2%, 3%. But they're treating them all like criminals. And if you listen to the president, you'd think they were all criminals. They're not. They're people simply seeking some safety, some honor, some decency for their children. Well, we'd like to work with the Republicans, but so far they've been intransigent. Donald Trump he makes the Republicans afraid to come together. with us. We're waiting for them to come together with us. We hope and pray they will.
Republicans aren't just being intransigent to be intransigent, and they're not just afraid of Donald Trump. They're afraid of the Republican electorate, which does see all of those migrants as criminals. Just the very thought of them trying to come into the country to seek asylum in the mind of a Republican means that they're criminals. I mean, that's what they've said over and over again. The vast majority of Republican voters are in favor of what's happening at the border. They love what they see with the detention facilities. And you know, when we covered the story of Mike Pence going to one of the facilities where migrant men are being detained, people were wondering, well, why would he want cameras to follow him there? It doesn't look good. No, it doesn't look good to normal, rational, humane people. It looks great to the Republican electorate. So I think the Republicans in Congress are much more concerned about their political careers as opposed to doing the right thing. That's why they're not working with you, Chuck Schumer.
But no.
Yeah. Anyway, I've said this before, but Trump now wants to meet with Schumer. He put out a tweet in response to Schumer's press conference saying, based on the comments made by Senator Schumer, he must have seen how dangerous and bad for our country the border is. It is not a manufactured crisis as the fake news media and their Democrat partners tried to portray. He said he wants to meet. I will set up a meeting ASAP.
No, it's in some sense literally a manufactured crisis because Trump manufactured it. And by that, I don't mean that he's lying about it, which is usually the case. I mean that he helped create this crisis. He cut the funding that we were sending to those Latin American countries that desperately needed that assistance. Situation got worse there. The war on drugs is a disaster. It already exacerbated the problem, and he continues that. You add those things, and what's happened? The number of people crossing the border has gone to a 13-year high. Like, Republicans have a funny way of taking credit for things that they screwed up. Mm-hmm. Like, Bush was like, hey, 9/11 happened on my watch. How is that a good thing? And now Trump is like, hey, the crisis at the border happened on my watch. What, you said you were gonna fix it and you just made it worse. And then you brag about it. And then the detention facilities, yeah, they're an absolute crisis. The thing that I take away is, and guys, again, if you're a right winger, it doesn't matter, man. You gotta know how bad it is, those conditions. When Matt Gaetz, one of the most right wing, I mean, how many times have I called that guy a brown shirt, right? Conservative congressman went down there and said, wow, the conditions that they are being kept in are horrific, okay? So even the most zealot right winger says, yeah, they're in terrible shape. Well, who created that? Trump did. Now, he stuffed all those people in to those facilities that have the cages, right? And so now, and doesn't give them soap and mattresses, and it said you've seen the NPR, you've heard all the horror stories, and they're correct. So then he manufactured this crisis, and then says, "See, we got to fix it." Yeah, there's one way to fix it: take you out of office. That's one way to fix it.
That would be the ultimate way to fix it.
Right.
I love that. But I just want to add one more thing to it. So there's various ways that Trump manufactured the crisis, and when I say manufactured, I don't mean that there aren't migrants trying to come in to seek asylum. Of course there are, and the numbers are much higher now than they were under the Obama administration. That is real, that is not manufactured. But the way that Trump has decided to handle it is very different from what previous administrations have done. I mean, you know, these types of crises have happened in our history, and the way that you usually handle it is, okay, you're seeking asylum, there's due process. You get your day before a judge, and a judge gets to hear your case, and that judge makes a decision as to whether or not you stay or you leave. But all these people are being treated as criminals, and they're being detained immediately, whereas before, they would be let go, right? And they would come back to their court date. The vast majority of them, you look at the numbers, would come back to their court date and stand before a judge. What Trump wants to do and what this administration has done, they've made the decision that they want to detain every single person who seeks asylum. And then they go on a media blitz defaming and slandering them as these dangerous criminals. And that's the reason why you see all of these crowded detention facilities that Nancy Pelosi was totally okay with giving $4.6 billion to, even though there are no safeguards to improve those conditions. So look, it's a frustrating situation. He has cut foreign aid to the countries that desperately need it to improve the conditions there so people don't flee seeking safety. I mean, every decision that this administration has made It's all about being punitive. It's all about demonizing people. And it's costing us quite a bit of money. And it's making these private prisons that operate these detention facilities a lot of money, taxpayer money.
So I want to be constructive. So certainly we do critique on the show, but we always try to give you what people should do instead. And in this case, Democratic Party. So during the capitulation of Pelosi, when she gave the $4.6 billion, one easy way of framing it would have been, we at least need mattresses. Now you could have all the other details, but that forces the Republicans to go, no, no mattresses. We want everybody to sleep on concrete, including the kids. American people aren't gonna eat, as vicious as some of the Republican voters are, they're gonna lose 3/4 of people. They're gonna go, I mean, come on, Jesus, at least give them mattresses. I mean, we're not that cruel, are we? Right? So she could have gone in that easy rhetorical way, but no, as a usual, complete surrender immediately. By the way, if you didn't see my Wall Street Journal article about Nancy Pelosi's capitulation and how she doesn't represent Democratic voters, check that out. We'll, if you're watching this later on YouTube or Facebook, we'll put a link down below so you can click on it and have it be easy for you. She's not our leader. Okay, now into for Schumer in this time around, because there's more budget talks. Here's another easy way of framing it. Shoot, I had it and now I forgot it after I got riled up on Pelosi.
Maybe you mentioned in that Wall Street Journal article.
Oh yeah, I know I am. I was gonna mention that at the top and then I forgot. Uh-huh. So that's going around lately.
Do you wanna take a quick break and remember?
Yeah. Okay, we'll do it right after we come back. Sorry, guys. We'll do that. And then we've got Chris Wallace taking it to Stephen Miller. So Fox News actually doing the right thing for a change. That should be great, too. We'll be right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired Magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment.
Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. Anna and Cenk with you. So, Cenk, I have some stuff to tell you about.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I was anticipating.
I don't know if you know this, but we actually have a new sponsor, The Weekly. So, The Weekly is a new show on FX that airs weekly, right? And so it's affiliated with The New York Times. And I'm super excited about this because The New York Times actually has a podcast called The Daily, which I do listen to daily, and it's fantastic. The Weekly will be a new TV series in pursuit of truth. So what I love is they're gonna be doing a deep dive into various political issues that we talk about on the show often. And their reporters are gonna kind of give us the inside scoop on what's going on some of these issues, including things like the taxi medallion industry and the impact of GM's transformation into the automotive tech company. So you can check out the episodes of The Weekly streaming on Hulu, and all episodes will start airing Sunday at 10 p.m. on FX. So you can either watch live on FX or you can watch it streaming on Hulu.
Okay, we've got some great guests coming up for you guys today and throughout the week. Scaramucci is gonna be in a little bit later this week. That ought to be interesting. So that's tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern, don't miss that. We got Vic Mensa coming on as well. And so that's fantastic. He's gonna join us in hour two of the Young Turks tomorrow. He'll also be on the conversation. Actually, Scaramucci's gonna be on Wednesday. And today I've got two great guests for you guys. MoveOn, speaking of the detention centers, MoveOn did 175 protests. I love that. They're gonna break down how they did it, how you could participate next time they try to close down the camps. And also Lee Fong's on tonight, and he has an amazing story about fake right-wing protesters.
Ooh.
Oh, Anna, you're gonna love that.
Oh, okay. I can't wait.
So don't miss the third hour of the Young Turks. Members get everything, of course. TYT.com/trial to become a member.
Can I mention one other thing that's gonna happen this week? So on Thursday, we're gonna have a special shindig during our members only post game. Cenk and I will be talking to some of our members, and we're going to answer some questions about the debates, the Democratic debates that'll take place next week. Of course, we're gonna be doing special coverage for our audience and some exclusive special coverage for our members. Please help support the show, become a member, go to tyt.com/join, tyt.com/join to become a member.
And you could upgrade to participate as well, tyt.com/upgrade. All right, Good Wizard asks, why is Ben never on Old School anymore? He is going a lot to work for Turner Classic Movies. He's just particularly busy this time around, but he'll be back soon. We've moved Old School temporarily to Tuesday nights, so don't miss it on Tuesday nights. Tomorrow it'll be me and Mark Thompson, so it'll be great. Check that out. Tommy Too Strong says, Cenk heaped salt all over Nancy Pelosi on the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal today. Dang, beat them with a stick, they will do. I'm not saying that it was number one on the Wall Street Journal website, but it was.
I want to read it. I'm excited.
And Eclectic Miscellaneous says, so let me get this straight. Pelosi and Schumer agreed to a 2-year budget deal, giving Trump a win, putting the country further in debt, and increasing funding for defense spending. Without a fight, maybe TYT should start a loser Chuck and Nancy segment. One thing at a time. Read the Wall Street Journal op-ed first. Anyway, last one is on Twitter. Bernice Pander says, I'm heartbroken. The 1 month I used $10 normally budgeted for my TYT Live membership to open my new Aspiration account. So now I'm missing all the post games, my favorite part of the show, and watching your Detroit March rally. Why can't members get a free month too? So I hear you, Bernice, and thank you for doing both of those things. And you're wonderful. And I know everybody's on a tight budget. I know we're offering a free month membership to the folks who sign up for an Aspiration account. I hear you, and every time you guys have a critique, we talk about it internally. We see if we can address it, and we've helped you guys have helped push us in really good direction. So that's why now you can watch us on almost all of your TVs in so many different ways, in all the ways that you guys asked for. You could pause the show if you're a member and watching later, and come back to the same spot no matter which device you're using. So we'll think about what you're saying, and thank you for caring enough to do both of those things. Okay, all right, a lot more show, so let's get going.
All right.
During his 2016 campaign and even as president, Mr. Trump has been as critical of this country as anything the squad has ever said.
There's Chris Wallace, and he was challenging Stephen Miller during an interview with Miller over the weekend. Now, this was a conversation about how Trump has targeted members of the squad. These are the freshman Democrats, all women of color, three of whom were actually born here in the United States, Ilhan Omar, who is a naturalized citizen, and Trump continues to attack them. Now, Stephen Miller bombed in this interview, and if you don't believe me, let's take a look at the first clip to give you some evidence.
Anybody who's running for office, right, left, or center, always points out where they think America can do better, where they think America needs to go. But there's a fundamental distinction between people who think that we need to lean into and strengthen America's core values, whether it be our constitutional values, the rule of law, the principles of Western civilization, or people who think that we basically need to turn America into Venezuela. For example,
wait a minute. The fact of the matter is that people can have a legitimate difference of opinion about policies, whether we want to go one way, we want to go another. Under the Constitution that you so believe in, and I believe in, the First Amendment allows everybody to say it. We're not talking about constitutional rights. The president said that President Obama has been the most ignorant president in our history. When asked about Putin, he said, there are a lot of killers. You think our country is so innocent? That isn't, you know, his view. That's being sharply critical of the United States.
So I'm going to give you some more examples of how much Trump hates the country in just a minute. But before I do, Cenk, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, so look, Chris Wallace, as usual these days, doing a really good job of holding the Trump administration officials accountable, and they're not up to the task. So what did Stephen Miller do? He went back to, hey, if you believe in Western civilization, that's just another code word for wink, wink towards nationalists that they're trying to appeal to. Look, there's a lot of wonderful things about Western civilization. There's also wonderful things about Eastern civilization. Oh, you never hear that, right? Do you ever hear Trump people going, my God, the 5,000 years history of China, it's amazing. Eastern civilization is wonderful. No, they're always talking about Western civilization. And it's not because they actually believe the libraries built by the Romans and the Greeks were fantastic, and I can't believe, you know, the different advances of science, etc. No, it's about appealing to their white
it's about dividing
voters.
People. Let's keep it real.
Yes.
Like, that kind of language is meant to divide, to draw in their heads a distinction between the United States, Europe, and the rest of the world. And it's meant to feed into the whole fear-mongering that we see from the right wing all the time. That's the way that they win elections, by scaring people about the others.
Yeah. Two more things here. One is Stephen Miller, you know, I hate this conversation about three out of the four were born in America. That's true. And that's why telling Ayanna Pressley to go back to her country, she's African American. What the hell are you talking about? And unfortunately, a lot of African Americans do hear that, because what racist people who say that are saying is America's white and we own it. So it's, I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care how you got here. It's my country and not yours. Not yours. You don't have the same rights as me, which is why Wallace is bringing up the Constitution. That's not what the Constitution says. And so they don't really believe in the Constitution. They believe in white nationalism. But so what that Ilhan Omar was born outside of the country? And I got a particular bone to pick here, because I was born outside the country. But naturalized citizens chose America. Mm-hmm. That actually shows more patriotism than anything else. We said we don't want to be in the old country. We want to come to this country because we believe in and love the idea of America, and we want to help improve it.
Exactly.
And we're 100% citizens. I don't give a rat's ass where dumbass Stephen Miller was born. The guy doesn't love America. He hates the idea of America. He wants to live in a white nationalist country. That's not what the Constitution says. That's not what our flag stands for. So Stephen Miller, pick a country on the map and get the hell out of here, because you don't believe in America. So why don't you leave?
So I just want to give you a few examples of Donald Trump's tweets. And look, the whole point of what the Trump administration is doing right now is to intimidate people into silence, basically. They do not want criticism. If there is any criticism, they'll point a finger at you and say that you're un-American. There is nothing more American than being able to speak truth to power. That's the whole point of a democracy. I mean, if you have a situation in which you are not allowed to criticize the government, then you don't live in a democracy, period. Now, Trump, back in 2014, had some pretty strong language toward the United States under the Obama administration. Let's go to graphic 11. The United States under President Obama has truly become the gang that couldn't shoot straight. Everything he touches turns to garbage. So there's Trump referring to the United States as garbage.
Get out, leave right now. Go back to Scotland or wherever the hell you're from, Germany. Get out, you don't love this country. I'm just using Republican logic.
Let me give you more. We are building other countries while our own country is going to hell. Time to rebuild the USA, tell our stupid politicians enough.
Get out.
There he is, referring to the United States as hell.
Send him back.
Disgusting, I can't believe how un-American he is.
Send him back, how dare you criticize America like that?
Remember, politicians are all talk and no action. This is another tweet from Trump. Our country is a laughingstock.
How dare you?
That is going to hell. The lobbyists and donors control all. How un-American is this guy? How the hell? Wow.
And those are good American lobbyists he's criticizing. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Look, guys, obviously the criticism of the country when Obama was president by Republicans is perfectly acceptable. And so is the criticism of the Trump administration when they're in charge. It's called America. It's in the First Amendment. We're supposed to protest our government. And we're certainly supposed to protest lobbyists and donors and crooked politicians. But now that the Republicans have their own crooked politician in charge, they're like, no more criticism. No more criticism. Okay, look, guys, can we get agreement on this? If you ever criticize President Obama, you should leave the country. because you were criticizing the American press. That's your logic. It's not my logic. It's your logic. So do you agree? Do you agree? If you ever criticize President Obama, we find any trace of that in social media or anywhere else, we get to kick you out of the country. Is that a deal? Nah, I didn't think so, right? Because you're giant hypocrites and you're idiots and you can't keep track of anything. Just the other day, you were like, oh, this country sucks, right? I mean, his hats say, the hats you wear, morons, say make America great again. Because America's not great. You spit on the country while running for office. And you put on the stupid red hats. America sucks is basically what that hat says. So get the hell out, right? That's your stupid logic. Own it.
Okay, I have an unimportant point to make because you keep saying logic and I keep thinking about Jesse Lee Peterson. Mm-hmm. He had an interview with Ben Burgess and Ben Burgess recently wrote a book titled Logic for the Left, Give Them an Argument. And the question that Jesse Lee Peterson asked him was, where does logic come from? And so Ben Burgess is like, I'm not really sure what you're trying to ask. And as he's trying to answer the question, he just yells, beta.
But this is a Republican way of thinking, right? I don't care about hypocrisy. When Obama was president, I spit all over America and was super proud of it. Now that Trump's president, that's it. I'm going to remove anybody from the country who disagrees. And you call yourself an American? You're an embarrassment to America. That's our flag, it's not yours.
And then one final important point that I want to make is, you know, in the course of that interview, Miller regurgitated a right-wing talking point about how the left wants open borders. The squad allegedly wants open borders. I just want to read you a quick quote from AOC. We absolutely do need to make sure that our borders are secure, to make sure people are safe in passage. But what we need to realize and remember is that ICE was established in 2003, right at the same time as the Patriot Act, the AUMF, the Iraq War, and we look back at a lot of that time and legislation as a mistake now. ICE has an extrajudicial nature. It's baked into the structure of the agency, and that is why they are able to get away with black sites at our border, with the separation of children. And the quote continues, the reason why I read that to you is because no one has called for open borders. It is a talking point that is meant to fearmonger about the left, and especially about these young congresswomen who are just constantly attacked and threatened as a result of the fear mongering coming from people like Stephen Miller.
Look, the right wing, unfortunately, these days, it wasn't always this way, and it's not always this way in every country, but it is right now in America, is built on a mountain of lies. So they just don't care. So they'll say anything about anybody without a moment's hesitation. Trump is going around saying that Ilhan Omar likes Al Qaeda. Not even anything like taken out of context, just made it up. Just made it up, doesn't care. Now in reality, he supports Saudi Arabia, which is aids and abets Al Qaeda and has constantly helped them. So if anyone helps Al Qaeda, it's Donald Trump. If it's anyone who's un-American, it's people who say you shouldn't protest your government. I mean, how are you so monumentally stupid that you say the real American thing is to not protest your government and bow your head to the government? What? Right? Like that, I put out a tweet the other day about how progressives have advanced the cause of liberty throughout American history, and we always win. The civil rights movement, in ending slavery, in gay rights, and most importantly, in the American Revolution. Because progressives were so tired of the established system that they literally did a physical revolution to change it, right? You should have seen how triggered the right wing get. Oh. I love that because they have no facts. And they're like, how could you say that? George Washington, he was a conservative. You know what he did? He hated the current system and he changed it completely. What? Huh? Like they're amazing. They're totally detached from reality.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not surprising they'd ask questions like, where does logic come from?
Beta. Anyway.
All right, I remember the Chuck Schumer thing. Before we go to break, I want to tell you guys that. So, look, for Chuck Schumer, it should be relatively straightforward. Say, hey, look, I want to help fix up these detention centers and the crisis we have that you created at the border, okay? So, the number one thing that I am going to fund and I'm going to insist on is judges. Why? Because judges will help these proceedings go faster. So that'll get the people out of the cages quicker. But if they lose their asylum cases, it will also deport them quicker. So there's no way that you could disagree with that. The right wing should be ecstatic about that. Like, oh, more judges, so we get them out of the country quicker, right? But Trump hates judges because he hates the rule of law. He has said in previous occasions, why do we even need judges? Literally about this. So you put him in a situation where he is going to go to his instinct and obviously make a mistake. And even the right wing are gonna go, you're against judges? But the judges would expedite things. Why would you be against judges? So it's a layup for you to win rhetorically and then help you get negotiate for more funding to make the situation better, including more judges, right? But will Schumer do that? No. Always Schumer and Pelosi are like, what do you need? I wouldn't want to disagree even 1% because that will mean that I'd have to fight. And that's not what I do. I'm on a carpet, I lay down. So that's likely what's going to happen. They're not going to try anything rhetorically. They're not going to try anything budgetarily. As usual, they're going to surrender.
All right, we got to go to break. But when we come back, a cop threatens or incites violence against freshman Democrats, AOC in particular. Is he going to face any consequences? I don't know. We'll see when we come back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.